Welcome to There She Goes podcast. I'm so excited. Today we are on our second episode, and today is a special day. It's a brand new day that the Lord has made. I am not alone. Again, I'm with my sisters, and I just feel like today's episode is going to be great. It's just going to be real. It's going to be organic, and we're just going to have a deep conversation with my sisters, and I'm just gonna let them present themselves.
Well, hello, this is Altus again. I'm back here.
He's back again for a second one.
Yes.
And we have,
hey everyone, I'm Elga, and I'm really elated to be here on this podcast.
We are excited. We're so excited. And just to get right into the real things, if you have already listened to the last episode, you are on the right track. But if you haven't, go back to our channel, the There She Goes podcast. You can listen to the first episode. It was amazing. We received a lot of feedback, a lot of support, and we just want to say thanks to everyone that is sharing, that is sending messages to encourage. We appreciate you guys, and we pray that may the Lord bless you and continue listening to the podcast, because every single episode will get deep and deeper. So last week we spoke about exposing. We spoke about out of the darkness. Is that right, Altes?
Yes, that is right.
Yeah, so what's the feedback actually like after the episode was published? What's the les revues on your side?
Well, it was for me when after like the podcast, you know, went public and everything, at first I was kind of scared, because I think I didn't realize until later on that I had actually like shared a bit of too much of my personal. So I was like, oh my God, is this gonna be against me? But the feedback, there you go, not
the
reviews,
feedback.
The feedback was actually, you know, positive. And the little messages I think that you shared with me as far as the testimonies, and then other people also listening to it on my side, they were able to relate with the whole alcohol thing. So I think that's still a thing for a lot of people. But it was good to know that even through our stories, we can preach and help a brother out there, help a sister out there.
And I think that's what we said, though. That's what testimonies are. God gives us testimonies to edify, to help other people. Mm-hmm. And through your testimonies, a lot of people, even on my side, were telling me, yeah, I didn't know like alcohol was bad until like 5 years in Christ, you know. And the fact that you mentioned, I think one thing that really touched my heart was when you spoke about back then. Remember when you said back then could be yesterday, back then could be 5 minutes ago, back then? Because sometimes you don't realize, like, anger could come out of nowhere, or situation like takes you by surprise and you just say things, but you know, you somehow we don't count that. Somehow we don't count certain things, because we think that on était dans le monde seulement when we were out and doing the most. But even the little things that we do, it doesn't please the Holy Spirit. And I loved that. That was the highlight of the episode for me. And Elgao, did you listen to the podcast?
I did. I listened to it, and I actually got back to Altus, and I was like, you know, except to be exposed. And for someone who's young, and a lot of young people, we like to keep things in the closet. So that really enlightened my perspective on, you know, testimonies. And I'm always saying, when the time is right, you know, I'm gonna share my story. I'm gonna talk about what's happening with me. But you know, as long as you have breath, each day is a new day for you to be able to change someone's life through the sharing of your testimony. So it was very
cool. Hallelujah. I loved it, and I'm looking forward to today. Last week it was out of darkness. This week is the process of wine, of new wine. I am so excited to hear what Elga's gonna say. I'm just I want to hear you. God. I don't want to say anything. I just want to listen to you guys. But if you have your Bibles, guys listening, you can actually find the story. We're going to share about the story of Joseph, his process to kingdom, from, I think it's Genesis 37. So we are in the book of Genesis 37. You can read verse 40 all the way to chapter 40 to 50 to understand the whole story of Joseph. But the most important thing that we're sharing today is the process. And we can tell that in the story of Joseph, Joseph was the beloved son of his father because, you know, he was the not only born from the woman that he loved the most, but he was really loved by his father. And because of that, his father would give gifts to him and treat him different from his brothers. And his brother got jealous. And just read the whole story. And if you already know the story of Joseph, you would understand where we're coming from. But I think what we want to focus more is also in giving also our own testimonies on what our process is. Remember, this podcast is to edify other people, to tell you that, listen, you don't have to be perfect, but all you can do is to try. All you can do is to stay in communion with the Holy Spirit. All you can do is to every day ask the Holy Spirit to help you be the light, like the Bible says, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the world, to edify people, to help other people. And that's what we're going to try to do on this podcast. We're going to share a little bit of our stories to understand that whatever situation that we go through, whatever stages of life where we are, it is for a season and it's for a reason as well. So if God decided to bring you through this phase where you're just alone and you just feel alone and you feel like no one understands you, no one loves you, it's actually a process that will be necessary later on and you don't even know. And I actually also went through a season where I just felt so alone. I just felt like everything was working against. Thing was just was for my destruction, but little did I know the Lord was building me for something, for a leadership, to be strong in the department, in a specific side, or it could be marriage, it could be in your with your family, at your job, it could be something. So God actually prepares us into this time of process. And we were looking, I was looking into how they make wine, right? How they make wine. And it's just very prophetic. It's very, very prophetic. Because when you look at first, what they do is they pick the grapes. So it could be like a lot of grapes, but they have to pick the right grapes. They have to take it. It's the same thing with us. We're all called, but like the Bible said, many are called. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
Many are called, but few are chosen. So there's many grapes, but they chose the correct grapes to make the wine. And the second step is what they do is, no matter how the grape is, what they have to do is they have to crush the grape. And that's what happens spiritually as well. The Lord crushes us. Have you gotten to a stage where it's painful? Like everything, it's like you're going through fire. The Lord is literally breaking you, breaking your personality, breaking your attitude, breaking the way you even serve. You just feel like everything is going wrong. Like, that's why we also find people even committing suicide, because they think everything is against them. And I've even heard people saying, God is not with me. God doesn't love me. I don't know if you guys have already heard things like that. God doesn't love me. And it's just that process. The Lord is really crushing you. It's the process. He's crushing you. And the third step, actually, I found on the making is making, reforming grape into wine. Literally, it's going to the machine.
Mm-hmm.
it's going through the machine to bring out the juice, the wine, right? So it's, I don't know if you understand the fermenting grapes into wine. So it's going through that machine. They're like grinding it. It's almost like crushing as well for it to bring out the wine. And that's what I really want us to focus on today. I believe that every single Christian, every single, even you guys, have through situations where you just don't know what to do. But at the end, you realize that it was the Lord breaking me. At the end, you realize that the Lord was mending me for something. So I'm going to actually ask Elga, have you been in a situation like that? Just like Joseph in the Bible, he had to go through jail. He had to go through people lying against him for him to be where he went. He was literally in the kingdom. He was after Pharaoh. Pharaoh is like the president, the king. And then after the king, it was Joseph. And he came from nowhere. So have you been in a situation like that before?
Yeah, for me, it was really growing up. Because, you know, when you're younger, you don't really have a voice or a say-so in certain things. When people want to go somewhere, you just follow. And for so long, I didn't have a voice of my own. And it would bother some people, you know. I wouldn't have an opinion. I didn't have a personality. And the past 2 years, God has really been pressing the talking thing out of me, to speak, to be able to communicate how I feel, what I like and what I don't like. So I don't know, I have a lot to share about, you know, the whole process of the breaking, the pressing and the beating. But yeah, I've been through those kind of situations.
But what would you say, that how did you know that it was the Lord breaking you, or what, how do you know that it was that process? How did you get to how do you say, differentiate?
Yeah, I started to differentiate, I guess this year and also mid last year, because it was hurting, but it was a beautiful kind of pain. It's like someone is taking everything that you once knew, everything that you once were, and they I don't know, I had written something, right? Mm-hmm. And I wrote a poem, and I was like, I pulled my heart out of my chest, I placed it in my hands, and I watched it beat, and then I handed it over to God, and then he molded and transformed it into what he wanted. So it's literally me willing to be change, me willing to accept that, yeah, I have a communications problem, I have problems with my character. So I knew it was of God, because I accepted it willingly. Mm-hmm. And in the process of being changed, it was a beautiful transformation. Even though it was hurting, it was producing someone who was better, someone who was more genuine and more authentic. So.
And I think in the process, you will know that it's God, because it comes with a certain peace. But that peace, yeah, you really have to go find. Like, you need to pay attention to understand that in the middle of my storms, I still have some kind of peace, you know. Oh, yeah. And I think that's how I also got to know that this is God working, because in a certain, even like when we look at the story of Joseph, whatever season or stages of his brokenness that he was in, you still found God's favor. Like when he was in jail, in the prison, he was the head of the prison. So no matter the situation that you're in, people actually find themselves in worse situation. Like you could be in depression, but the Lord is just breaking you there, but you're not really committing suicide. You don't have suicidal thoughts, or you could have suicidal thoughts. You try multiple times to commit suicide, you attempt, but it's not able to do it. I've known people who I've watched on YouTube, someone saying, I attempted suicide 7 times. Like, get the message. The Lord is sending you a message right there. You're not supposed to, you're supposed to be broken. You get it?
Come on. Yes.
Altus is so quiet. What do you say, Mama?
Because I am listening back here, and you just spoke about this whole people committing suicide and attempting to commit suicide, and God saying, no, you're not supposed to die. You're supposed to be broken. And that's really, that's hard to accept. The whole, you know, being broken is something that's really, really hard to accept. And for this whole thing for me, it's like, how do I even, just to even peek back at our last podcast, you know, before even being broken, I think you were kind of like exposed to these things, as Elva was saying, that she noticed that she didn't have a voice. She noticed that she didn't have an opinion, but I don't think she noticed it in a, let me sit down and reflect. Yeah. But I think it was more at the things that's being thrown at you, you know, like the things that people could be saying about you. And sometimes we take it as maybe like people just want to gossip or say things, but God is also using that to show you like your flaw, or like, you know, your character that he doesn't like, that he wants you to change. And I don't know. I'm gonna stop right here.
No, you know what? I agree with you on that one, but I don't know, like, you guys can interrupt at any time. Let's have a conversation. But I also feel like there are seasons in your life ahead of you that the Lord wants you to be with specific type of people. And so he also, in the time of breaking, he also allows you to see their character in order for you to know who to the promise.
Come on, my God. I love
you. You get it. Yeah, sometimes that's why it's important. We always say this, to walk with the Spirit of God, because he's going to be able to tell you, listen, this one is a test. This one, it's a process. This person, no matter how wrong they are, no matter how they're talking behind your back, it's just they don't understand it yet. They don't understand that you, their friends of their sister, friend of destiny, you still have to bring them along. Forgive them and love them. You still have to bring them along. Maybe the Lord is breaking them as well, or it could be someone that the Lord is purely showing you the heart, so that you can be careful. Listen, this person does not match with your calling. This person does not match with your destiny. So I'm showing you this to prevent this from happening in the future. So you gotta leave them behind. Love them with the love of Christ. Forgive them. But you have to move aside. You have to separate.
So, you know something about that, like the friend of your destiny, or I've come to understand, I don't know if it's maybe the older that I get or just like communing with the Holy Spirit, I've come to understand that a lot of people in our life are seasonal.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people are seasonal, and they could be good. They could be bad as well, but God is using them to take you to your destiny. Most of the time when we hear destiny helper, I think we think of, oh, this person is gonna, you know, help me in a way, how can I put it, like help you to, in a sense of like, in a positive way. You get what I'm, I don't know if you guys are kind of getting my point, but when we think of destiny helper, we think of somebody that's gonna, like, you know, they're not gonna do me any evil. They're always gonna support me. They're always gonna be by my side, like team me.
Come on,
you get
right,
it,
right?
But a destiny helper is not someone that's always rooting for you. It's not someone that's always like in support of everything you do. A destiny helper could literally be that person that hates you so much, that always have something negative to say. You know, he's your destiny helper, because he's going to help you to get to the destiny that God has prepared for you. He's going to help you to enter that process of brokenness. You know, that process where you're like, whew, all I have is God.
Right.
This right here, this is not working. This is not working for me. And I have, you reminded me of when we spoke about the whole like suicide thing. Someone that was a destiny helper for me was somebody that was really giving me a hard time. Like, me and that person, we could not see eye to eye. Like, it was all about ego and pride at the time. It's like, she has this strong character and I have this strong character, and we were just butt heads all the time, not even knowing why that would happen. But one time, I think with everything that was going on, I was so broken to the point where I had reached that, like, I want to kill myself type of thing. Like, I want to, like, leave this world, because I felt like, you know, that time where you feel like nothing is working, you have no value to bring to anything, nothing that you're doing is making sense, even though you know Christ. You're not in intimacy with him. So, it, you know, those thoughts just flow in your mind. And I remember me one night, and I think it was like 2018, I was so fed up. Like, I was just like, I'm through. I'm done. I don't want to hear it. I don't want, nobody's going to tell me anything. But that night, and maybe some other episodes or some other time, I will share on that. But the person that came back to me to, like, bring me back to my senses is that person that hated me so much. She randomly sent me a message to say, oh, you're so valuable in the eyes of God. You're so... I was confused. Okay. I was confused because I was like, you're one of the reasons why I am where I'm at. But I never told her that I was depressed. Right. I didn't tell her that I was thinking of taking my life away. It, she randomly, when I say randomly, she never texts me. You know, we didn't text. She randomly sent me a message. So after that, I kind of understood that God can use anything and anybody, to be honest, to do what he wants to do.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that also reminds me of even when the Joseph had, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, they thought that they were getting rid of this boy finally.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
You know, let's just get rid of him and all. But they were actually taking him literally quickly to his destiny, you know, even if he was abandoned and beaten in jail. But he was being escorted to his destiny. What did you want to say, Elga?
Yeah, I wanted to say the same thing. Like, it would not have been possible for Joseph to be the man that he would be if he wasn't thrown into that cistern by his brothers. So we need those people.
We need them.
But it's hard to accept them when they're around.
It is.
We often push them back. We often just want to get away from them.
That's me. I used to say, like, if someone has a dark cloud around them, and if I get, like, around them, it's gonna start raining and pouring on me too. So I'm someone who pushed a lot of people away, and God has really made me to understand that sometimes you need those people to shake you a little bit, because you don't really know that you have a problem until someone push that certain button that nobody touches. Then you're gonna know that, yeah, okay, this is my problem.
Yeah, and I think it goes with the first episode when we say you come out of darkness. Now, when you come out of darkness, there's things that needs to stay behind. You know, when you have been exposed, now the Lord needs to start working on you. And if you always have people throwing flowers and telling you all these things, how are you going to go forward? I appreciate when people tell me that what you did wasn't good. What you did, I appreciate when people show me the way, because I can't sit here and think that I know it all. I've reached a level, you know, like I always felt to tell. So I went to heaven and had breakfast.
Oh my God.
I'm good. No, we have to grow. The only perfect person is the Lord Jesus. And we are in the process. As long as we live, we learn every single day. So what's the point of having someone that's always telling you what you want to hear? And I think that's not even helpful for you.
But I must admit that, okay, yes, it's good, you know, to have those people that kind of, you know, help reveal that side of you that needs to be changed. But we also need to be wise, because sometimes people throw things at we. It's good to be like receptive and accept reproach, you know, and accept all these advices, or like when people come to you and I'll tell you like, oh, this and this that you're doing is not good. It's good to accept it. But I think that after when we've reached a certain level in life, we need to use discernment, because some people that will come at you and tell you all these things about you, but perhaps those things are not even true.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's good to accept that. But learn to reject some things and rebuke them, because some people can just be speaking negative upon you and you start to believe that those things are true.
All you right. know,
because the more I feel like if you keep hearing the same thing over and over and over again, after a moment you start to believe it.
Yeah,
you know, so be careful also who you're taking these things from. These oh, you're not this, or you're this, or you're so stuck up, or you're so what's the intention?
Right. And that's why I also mentioned that you have to have the Holy Spirit guidance, because I personally don't listen to people that come in and attack me. You know, you will know God speaking to you or God directing you when the person is even talking to you about these things. You can feel the love of God. No, this person really cares for me. You feel the love there. But I can, you can also tell when someone is just there to make you feel inferior. So I think whatever situation that we'll be talking today, we have to have discernment on it's either good or bad. Like someone can come and tell you like what you're, listen, it could be really something that the Lord is has been speaking to you about. And I come, me and Altes come to you, Elga, and I say, you know what, it doesn't even, you don't even look beautiful on that. Why in this? Why are you wearing it? And then Altes comes to you and say, you know what, you are so beautiful. But if you could just remove this thing, it could be amazing. You see the difference? It's the difference of the, it's how we deliver the message. The problem is not the message itself. I think someone said that last week to me. The problem is not the message. The problem is how we deliver the message. And God has a way of delivering message, because I always say God knows us. He knows that some of us needs that hard message that will literally strike you for you to understand. And he also knows, because I'm sensitive, I know every messages that the Lord sends my way, if it's not sensitive sometimes, it's just I'm not taking it in a way, you know. But there are some times where he has to scream because he has been talking to a long time. Girl, we just have to have discernment. Yes. So Elga,
yes,
I have a question for you. I have this idea that was going through my mind this week. I think I wrote it down. The trial is giving way to joy. So meaning like new wine is from grapes that have been through a recent process of crushing. So wine has been produced under pressure, right? So you have felt it, you have felt the pressure, and you're going through the process. And what do you do, like when that situation happened to you, like what do you do in that? What's that one thing that made you feel like, okay, God has my back? What's that one thing that you do, because you know that you're either you're in process or either you have been in the process? And who do you run to? What do you do?
In that situation, honestly, it's at the feet of Jesus. I remember, when was it? Maybe the beginning of this year or the ending of last year. I was coming out of trauma and stuff like that. So I had, I don't know, you know when you address the people who cause you pain, or you expose the things that people have done to you, and you face kind of the you face the person who's done things to you, and now you're just like, okay, I've released the trauma. What do I do now? What do I do now? I've released the things that I've been holding in my heart, the things that have been kind of pressing me down. But what do I do now? And this is where I really started to build that intimacy with God. And I think that's what's been helping me, or has helped me throughout. I remember I had texted someone out of nowhere, because one day I was just sitting down and I felt I was going through a lot, you know. And one of the things that I was dealing with was graduation. So after I graduated, it was rough. It was so rough. And I was asking God, like, what are you doing to me? I graduated early and I was expecting, you know, to have a job, to, you know, have a stable life, new grad, new apartment, everything. I had everything planned out. And God brought me to the lowest pit or whatever. And ça faisait mal. Plus the trauma that I just got out of. I just finished school, so I'm expecting like a new birth, a rebirth, or, you know. Et ça faisait tellement mal. And through that time, in that period, I don't know how, but I fell in love with God. I fell in love with the word of God first. That was one of the things that really, really helped me. Because people, you know, I could have asked for advice. I asked for advice. I was telling, you know, someone that I confided in how I was feeling, but it wasn't really helping. Nothing was satisfying me. Nothing satisfied my soul. Nothing was able to complete the way that I was feeling inside. So it was until I started to kind of read the word more. I started to spend more time in the presence of God. And sometimes I wouldn't even say anything, because I always tell God, me, I don't know how to pray. I don't know the proper words that, you know, you like. I don't know what to say, but I'm going to stay in your presence. If you want me to read, I'm going to read. And then when I started to read, whatever I was dealing with during that period, I would find it in the Bible. So if I need a hug, it was weird. It was very spiritual. If I need a hug, I would find a comforting verse. Like, as soon as I opened up the Bible, there would be something about comfort. If I needed, like, I don't know, upliftment in the job that I was doing, it was a really bad job. I needed upliftment, I would find it in the word. So for me, it was really God, because no man could have given me the love and the peace that I felt through that time, except for God and the word of God. And
Yeah, and that reminds me of, like, the process of new wine is also a process of miracle.
Yeah.
You know, it's in that moment where things feels impossible. It's that moment where you feel like, this can't happen to me. So many bad things have been happening to me. But that's also another opportunity that the Lord uses to show you that He is God and nothing is impossible to Him. And that's why I love this, the process so much, because in that process, if we pay attention to it, we learn and we see so many facets of God. We see that He's a God of miracle. We see that He's a compassionate one, a person. When you said that you go in the Bible and then you get a verse that, you know, just gives you that assurance, cette compassion là. And I think it's just a way to miracle. It's just a part of the package. I would say it's a part of the package, that's something tangible, something good, something that's leading you to the promised land. Is about to happen, and you need all these small things. And I think, I don't know if I was sharing it with Altes, I said, I don't think so, but bref, I was saying that new wine cannot be poured into old wine skin or old bottle. It has to be a new bottle. And I was saying that, yes, we are in the process of of being the new wine. New wine, meaning like the new power, the new communion, the new everything, like you're reaching the goal that the Lord has for you. But we also have to work on ourselves. Yes, God is doing his part. He's bringing us into places where he will literally break us to pieces. But what do we do? Like, if you understand, okay, God is trying to teach me patience right now.
Yes.
So what do I do? Do I just sit down and let people piss me off? Or do I work with God at this? Isn't it, I don't know if I was talking to you, but do I get into like that work? Can I work with God? Can we be in commonly complete? Like, he's breaking me and I'm allowing him, not only allowing him, I'm also trying to help, you know, that destiny, that place to be, que ça soit facile à travailler, tu vois.
At that point, you have no choice than to work with them.
But you'd be shocked. Some people resist.
Oh no, but yeah, you're gonna resist. We all resisted. I resisted.
We resist
because your body doesn't want that. Okay, the body does not want anything that will put it in a lack of comfort. The body doesn't want that. So, of course, you will resist. But there comes a time where it's like the more you resist, the harder it gets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Have your way. Like, you throw your hands up and say, sir, I concede defeat. I've been defeated by you.
At this point, I surrender.
Yeah, I surrender. At this point, do what you want. And I was telling a friend last time, he is not patient at all. He is not patient. When he wants something done, he wants it now. When he wants to have something, he wants to have it now, right? And I was telling him, and I was, you know, teasing him, and I'm like, you need to learn about patience. And he's like, stop telling me that. I'm eating that fruit right now, the fruit of patience. And I said, well, you know what, when you ask God to make you patient, you know what's gonna happen? He's going to be throwing things at you.
Right.
That's going to, you know, test that patience. That's going to bring birth to that patience. So when you ask for things, just know what to expect, you know. And when you said that new wine cannot be poured into like old, you know, old bottles and stuff like that. During the process of brokenness, when we're broken to pieces, I take it as those pieces that are broken, God takes those pieces and build it into a new vessel, into a new bottle that will carry what he has. Because this, the way we are structured right now, it's not going to happen. You know, it's not, it won't happen. So it's necessary that one be broken for the Lord to have something. I think our brother Jonathan, you know, one of our brothers that, you know, teaches us about the word and stuff like that. And I think he was sharing, I don't know if it was this week or last week, but he was talking about, I forgot the word that he said, but like once you, no, was it? I'm not sure that, I don't know if it was Jonathan or my cousin, because I listened to both of them and I don't know, but one of them this week was talking about, yeah, I think it was my cousin. He was talking about gold being thrown into fire. I don't know if you recall this, Elga, but gold being thrown into fire and turning into liquid, you know, for, you know, and then after that liquid, you take it and you give it a form that you want
come
it
on,
to have.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? So that really stood out to me, because for gold to be purified, it goes through fire, just like the whole process of the wine, right? But those grapes, when you eat, you know, we've all had grapes before. You eat grapes, it don't taste like wine.
Right.
It tastes like grapes. Right. When you drink wine, you understand that, ooh, this went to a whole, a whole, I don't know, something. It changed the structure of everything. Deja, you have wine, it's liquid. You have grape, it's a fruit, it's a little ball. The structure changed, the shape changed, the form changed, the name changed.
Come on.
So you you know, so, oh my God. But yeah, so it's just God kind of, it's hard to accept it, but that's why the Holy Spirit is here. Because I think you had sent us, you said God providence, was that it? God providence, right, in this process of brokenness. We can see that even when we're going through these things, when we're being broken, there's still something that God is doing.
Right.
To help us continue. Yes. To help us hope.
You know, as you were talking, there's a word that came up in my mind or whatever, and mm-hmm. it's called, you know, counterfeit.
Come
on. So there's Ooh. Beauty in pain and in transformation, but the problem in the process is counterfeit. Come so on. A counterfeit is like an imitation of something that's real or authentic. Mm-hmm. And counterfeits can be emotions, it can be characters,
Ooh.
It can be the way that you carry yourself or a mindset that pops up, but it mm-hmm. doesn't belong. So like temporary change. You feel mm-hmm. a little pressing and a wine is released, you know?
Right.
You can choose grapes and wine is released. And you will think that, okay, I've overcome the journey. And you know, so you wow. notice a little bit of change, a little mm-hmm. bit. You've been pressed out. So this is where people start to kind of grow wings and they deem themselves holy. But Come you know on. What I think the problem is? Ask me. The problem is
what is the problem?
Yeah, Tell they us. Have no flavor. No flavor. So like
hold on. They have no don't flavor. Go too fast. Hold on. Pause. Go back. Go back
and repeat themselves. Go back. Holy, but they have no flavor because no when you flavor. Make wine, you're contained in the fermenter. You're cultivated. Ooh. But for you to taste like wine, to taste like good wine.
My flavor. God.
And that flavor is the Holy Spirit.
Ooh. Listen, I love it.
Yeah, that flavor is the Holy Spirit. The wine flavor has to be adjusted in the fermenter.
Ooh.
And this is where you're glittering, but you're not gold.
Come.
You don't have flavor yet. This is where people brag way too soon. And this can stop the process. Or it can delay the process of provision. Or
Girl, as you were
stop
speaking,
the process.
Right. As you were speaking and you said that it was the Holy Spirit, I thought about something. Because you know in the process of making wine, mm-hmm. after the fermentation, the clarification of everything, they leave... You know that wine doesn't get sold right away when they make it.
I was thinking that
there is the aging of the wine.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
There's the aging of the wine. And sometimes we think that okay, God broke me. Like I know, like I used to do these things, but I don't do it anymore. Listen, mm-hmm. I'm ready to be shut out and go do my ministry. Sometimes it's not the right time. Sometimes God wants you to just remain there, just stay there a little bit more so that
and you know what it says in Ephesians 5, wine that is not of the Spirit leads only to debauchery or corruption. So you look convinced.
It's so crazy. Listen. I was looking at the same chapter. As
Listen.
Oh, God. So you look convincing, but you lack substance.
Right.
Do you think you're really ready for the bigger plans of God?
You know what? I remember the quote, right? A saying that people always said. And I'm actually like looking at it on Google right now because I wanted to get it right. And it says that aged wine, because I asked, is aged wine more valuable? Because that's what I always heard people say. And it says, it is clearly more expensive to buy them once they've had time to develop.
And y'all will make me speak in tongues right now.
Guys, it says purchasing these wines ahead of time and waiting patiently is the most cost-effective way to make the most of them, whether you're investing to sell someday or wanting to drink them.
Okay.
So this this right here is, it's a clear, it should be a motivation, an encouragement to, for all of us to tarry in the presence.
Tarry
in the presence, because I love how Elga said it stops the process, right? You start to grow wings, but you have no flavor.
Come on.
It's really true. You really have no flavor, because when you do, when you make wine, or when people even make, like, what's that drink called? Like, a lot of our West Africans, palm wine.
Yeah, palm wine.
Right. Palm wine, I had the I don't know if to say the grace.
When I was younger,
I saw the process. And they cut the palm tree and they put, like, the things there. They let it stay for weeks, like a week or so, for that thing to ferment, to, like, you know, get it. Then they throw things in there, because when it's, I think at the beginning when they make it, it still doesn't taste as it should, like strong and stuff like that. So you have to wait. You have to wait. And I loved it that when the wine starts to go through the machine, you see that juice, the grapes are being crushed. You see the juice coming out. You're happy. You
but like, that's
I've a made it. No. But that juice tastes like
that's grapes. Not it. It
yeah,
tastes like that, grape.
That liquid tastes like maybe grape juice or something. Probably not even sweet or
come
anything
on.
Like that.
That was me for like a very long time. And I used to get irritated.
That was all of us, girl.
Yes. I used to get irritated because of the kind of people I would like kind of attract relationship wise. So everything looked good on the outside. But if you knocked, you would hear echo. If you came to the doors of my heart, ice. I was such an empty shell. I was such an empty shell. And I was doing so many things in public, but people wouldn't see, like, the things that I was doing, you know, at home. I became, like, an alcoholic, I would say, in my room. And this would surprise so many people. But I started to talk to guys inconsistently. And my cousin will know, I don't play with boys. I will talk to you for, like, I don't know, 4 days.
The 4 days dating.
And then I was done. Like, I was looking for something. I was looking for that flavor that I wasn't getting from these guys. And I was so inconsistent. I was so, I don't know. And then also going back to counterfeits, in the brokenness, they start to pop up. They start to pop up. People, they will look like the plans of God. They will look like the promise, the prophet.
They're really
counterfeits. For me, it's something that like, also going back to guys. This guy, he looked good. He had his master's. He had everything. He was very attentive to details about me. But we had like a, spiritually there was a clash. We bucked heads spiritually, and I didn't understand, like, okay, you know, this man, he seems like the perfect guy, but he came in at a time where I was lonely, you know, in that brokenness. So I was expecting, God sent me someone who, you know, who will kind of be there for me,
right?
Maybe he was a counterfeit. And that's what we see when we're going through things. People start to pop up, especially when you're getting close to the breakthrough or to the promise. That's when they
decide to show up. I'm telling you.
Isn't that the same thing though with Joseph, since we're talking about Joseph? I'm pretty much sure Joseph thought, now that he was in the house of, what's his name,
Potiphar.
Voila. He probably thought, oof, my help has come.
Ebenezer,
it's here. You know, he's probably like, I've made it. I am here. My brother sold me, but woo.
Oh, God
is good. They sold me too. He is doing me good. I'm handling his things. You know, this is my destiny.
Right.
Yeah.
He probably got comfortable. But one thing that I want to say is, let's not get comfortable.
Never.
Always ask for more.
Precision.
Precision, exactly. Ask for more. Tarry in the presence. Because he was probably surprised, Joseph, when he went to prison. He probably sat there thinking, man, I thought I had made it. No, God's plan. God's plan. So that counterfeit, it's, that's the word, because Joseph witnessed that. Mm-hmm. Joseph witnessed that. Like, that was it. Every, I think, even when, he, yeah, seriously, when you said that, I thought of that.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of young people, a lot, especially young girls these days, like, not everybody wants to have a relationship, like, have that thing that you're looking forward to, marriage. A lot of young women are wanting to be married, and I think that stage is so sensitive, because even me, you know, like Elga said, they just decide to show up in the season where you it looks like this is it, that's the thing that the Lord wants from you. And I remember, even before I was married, there was this guy that was just everything that I had in pictured. Yeah. That was the guy for me. Like, he was tall, he was dark, he was, you know,
the things that we want.
Yes, and we don't know that the things that we want is not the things that God wants for us, because we don't know ourselves. Yes. And it was literally like, imagine, I would have dreams like, my husband is like this, you know. And then, but you know what? That's why I was saying before, we have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit, because he's gonna make you see something. And I'm telling you, this guy was the perfect guy. He had he loves the word, he loves worship, and you know I'm a worshiper.
It'd be
and
like so, that,
you know, like the image. But there was one thing that I didn't know the day I met the guy, well, not the day I met him, the day we went like on a real date, he orders alcohol, and I'm like, girl, that's not helping you, because you just got out of that. And so I'm like, okay, it's okay, you know, when we get married or whenever I would, you know, along the way, I would talk him out of it. And that's our problem. That's our problem. You can't correct God. You can't help God in the process of breaking you, on the process of giving you something that you need. You know, you can't do that. God doesn't need assistance. And so...
Stop. Hold on. Wait a minute. Tell me again. Speak to my soul. I'll test. Listen. God doesn't need what? Speak to my soul.
God doesn't need assistance.
He doesn't need help. He doesn't need help from me.
She said, oh, my soul, listen.
Oh, my soul. No. I guess, listen. My soul, listen to this.
Oh my God!
Assistance,
but yeah,
we love to help God.
We love to do that, and the fact that, and it became like he got comfortable with me accepting that he loves alcohol, that he will be drunk now all the time, and I'm like, God, is that really what you want from me? And that's why I'm like, why I'm saying that stage, especially for young women, it's very, very sensitive. And after that, I remember, listen, God is a God of miracle. And I'm telling you that the process of this brokenness, the process of this wine, is the process of miracles. Because today I can really, I have that faith, you know, that strong faith that I know, and that I know that when I put my knees down, you know, I go on my knees. You know, a lot of times we pray, but when you have experienced the power of God, even prayer changes. You just have that confidence in your prayer. Like today, I know that I know when I go and I ask God for something, he's a God of the instant, comment dit, l'instant, dans l'instant. Because what happened to that guy was this one day in the morning, and I have these time frames in my head just because I want to give testimonies one day to glorify the name of God. At 8 a.m., okay, it was a normal day. I was going to work at 8 a.m. And the night before he had went, he drank, and he was sending me like weird messages. And it was like, he was sending me, let's just say, basically pornography. Like, I want to do this, I want to do this. I'm like, don't do that. Don't send me these things. Anyways, he went to sleep, probably forgot about all of that. And then in the morning, I'm just like, God, this is getting too much. I'm not supposed to be in a relationship that would start making me pray for God. I'm going to talk to him to strengthen me. No, I don't want to be in that relationship. So in the morning at 8 a.m., he sends me a message. I remember I was in the train. He goes, "I love you. You're the woman."
These like literally. People, Elga, you hear?
I don't want to hear it.
Like he's telling me everything that I love people to, like the guy that I'm with, to tell me. Like he was super, super romantic. Like romantic was his. Was his middle name, you see. So he tells me all these things, and on the train, this is power in prayer. On the train, I said, "Lord, if he's not for me, take him out of my life. But I want a graceful exit." That's what I said. I said, "God, I want a graceful exit," meaning that we don't get into a fight. Yeah. And then we stop talking, or we get into an argument or anything like that. I just want him to go peacefully, and I go peacefully. And I just remember saying in the train, I said out loud, there was a lady next to me, I prayed that in my heart, and out loud I said, "Graceful exit." I am not lying to you. I'm getting baptized again this weekend. I know I can't be lying right now. I said 8 a.m. he sent me that message before my lunch. So that was 11:32. I got a message from this guy, a very, very, very long message saying, "You're a good person, but I just don't think it should be working out." I screamed.
"Brother, go, go,
go, go your way."
I said, "It's okay. I love you. Have a good life. May God bless you with a wonderful wife."
Question. I have a question. Because, you know, often we make these prayers, right? Because we really want God to separate us. But when he sent you that message, were you happy?
Girl, I was dancing.
No, but deep inside of you, there wasn't a bit of a sadness, because you know that you're about to go back to the single lane.
No. To be honest, at that point, it was, because this was not a relationship of a week. It had been a couple of months, and I was getting miserable every single day. And I started to realize that it wasn't the will of God for me. And not only that, because I asked God when I was 19, actually. I said, "God, I don't want to get married to someone who has a child." And this person did not tell me he had a child until 2 months before everything ended. So I was happy. Like, literally, I was happy. And then within 2 weeks, I met Michael.
So you had reached that point of, it's done.
It's done, like whatever.
I want to be done. But, whoa. I mean, it's crazy how we always, like, it's really crazy how we always want to help God.
Right.
And seek God. And I like that you guys talked about this point of relationships, because many young ladies out there, this is what we battle with. Many people will be telling you, "Well, why are you still single?" It's not that we don't get men. It's not that we don't have somebody. We have people. We have people, but we just like,
"Fine, again.
Pack your things. Leave." You're like, don't even. It's not even that you don't have people. Like, some people, they will look at you and pity you. And you're like, "Hey, if you knew." But you know what you want.
Right.
You know what God wants for you. And you just like, "Brother, with your masters, pack and go."
And
brother,
the green.
Go, brother. With this, your money, pack and go. These are our brothers in the church. Don't get twisted. It can be that brother filled with the Holy Ghost. But that brother filled with the Holy Ghost, it does not mean that he's filled with the Holy Ghost for you.
Listen.
Okay.
Girl,
for you.
That you mentioned that there was a lady at church, actually, she moved to Manitoba. She used to always tell me, because I would tell her everything every time, if a guy comes my way, she'll always ask me a question. Because you know when you like somebody, you'll be like, the first thing you say, "He's a good person."
Of course.
"He's a good person." And she will always ask me, "He's a good person, but is he a good person for you?
That for you matters.
That one is tough. That's serious business.
That's tough. It's very tough.
And I think that process is also important when we pay attention to the Holy Spirit, of course, because the Lord is also preparing us for something.
You
know, he's building your character. He's trying to teach you. And if you pay attention to that season, you're going to see that the Lord is calling me to be someone. And if you're someone that doesn't, like, your vision and mind don't align, we can't be together. We can't go into this relationship. Because there are relationships that will either, like, bring you higher, like, just push you into the work of God and push you into your relationship with God, or there are relationships that would just make you fall, like forget your faith, and now you start thinking about therapist.
That's very true. Wow,
guys, this one was too much.
this was it. Okay, this one hit a lot of spots. I love how you guys spoke to my soul. I was commending my soul to listen.
My soul, listen. I just said, oh, my soul.
Listen, that if you stop here, you have no flavor. Oh, my soul. Listen, that God does not need your assistance and your help. Calm down.
All.
Chill. Back off.
But I have a question for you guys. Like, not everyone that will listen to this podcast are born-again Christians or the you know. Why would you say to that person? Because sometimes when we go to evangelize, I remember when we went to evangelize with some sisters at church, there was two different perspective of things. Like, one side, we were with the boys, and you know the boys are like, repent, it's either you go to hell, things like that. And then our side, we were more into like talking to the heart. And I remember this one girl, she doesn't go to church or anything like that, and we were talking to her, and the girl started crying. She's like, I don't know, I'm just in pain, I don't know where it's coming from, nothing is working, I have suicidal thoughts and things like that. But she didn't know help was right around the corner. So what would you tell someone that can understand what everything that we spoke about? Like, evangelize to someone right now. Yeah, that's what I would say. Evangelize to someone that don't know Christ and is going through that process. Come on, Elga. Please. Give this one to Elga first.
Gaga, go ahead. No,
go ahead now.
All right, let me tell you something. Your best friend has a best friend. And their best friend has a best friend.
Come on.
In brokenness, it's nice to have, you know, confidence. It's nice to, you know, look at the things of the world. But I urge you, I plead you, taste and see. Taste and see. Let God have all of you. Let him be the one to piece together your broken parts. Let him turn your story into a testimony of worship. I've learned that God is an artist, man. He is the greatest creative. So permit him to mold you, except going through the traverse of fire. I don't know what you're going through right now, but there, always remember that everyone goes through something. And if we're able to come on this podcast and share our journeys, is because we've tasted and we've seen and we've deemed God to be great, worthy to be the one to mold together our pieces. So trust God, bro. All of this is for his glory. And remember that at the peak of your brokenness, where men see the glory of God, men will see the glory of God through you.
Right.
And that's all that matters. So really try to taste and see. I can tell you, but you have to taste for yourself.
Yes.
I love it. Taste for yourself. Well, my sister there has said it. She has said it all. But one thing I can say is, just to go back on what she said of the best friend having a best friend, it's basically just to say that it's nice to confide in men. It's nice to talk to men. It's nice to ask for advice from men. And one thing that I always tell my little ones, well, not always, I was telling them last time, is that it's best to seek intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's best to seek, you know, because the way God has revealed himself to me ever since I was a child, like, rejection, I felt like rejection was my middle name, if not my first name. in everything, like in everything, be it relationship wise, be it family, be it whatever it is, you know, and you will have someone, you will find someone that genuinely loves you, you know, and that's ready to listen to you, that's ready to advise you, but that someone cannot shower you with the love that God can shower you with. It won't be the same, because and sometimes you will tell them something, they might not share it with somebody else, but they're not gonna know how to help you, because there was a poet that said that in the heart of a man there is a void that has the shape of God. There is a void that has the shape of God. So that means that it doesn't matter what thing you try to do, that thing, if that thing is not the Holy Spirit, it's not gonna, it's like a puzzle. You know, the puzzle is not complete until that piece fit.
Right.
So whatever piece you're gonna put there is, you know, if it's not God, it's still gonna be, you're still gonna be empty, you're still gonna wanna, you know, find other ways. So if you don't know Christ, or if you used to, you know, you try having a relationship with him and you kind of backslided, come back, try to get to know him for him. Don't follow religion, because our churches sometimes they're very religious. Find out who Christ is for yourself. You know, if I always said that if you challenge God, he responds to the challenge. You know, challenge him. Like, if you're really God, if you're really Jesus that died on the cross, I want to know you. He will show himself. Have no idea. And that way you will know him for you, not because your mom told you, your sister, your pastor. And that way, if something happened, you will not hold on because of somebody. You will hold on because the Comforter is there.
Hallelujah.
So find Christ. The only advice is really find Christ. If you don't know him, find him. You can go to therapy. You can go to whatever. The therapist does not have the shape of God. The therapist can be born again, but he's not God. Is in him, but he isn't God. So find that shape.
Go straight to the source.
Oh, yes, exactly.
I absolutely love this. I think this is going to be the, I think we have to have a second part to this new wine. Next Thursday, if you're listening to this podcast, share it with your friends. And I'm pretty sure that the Lord spoke to you again through us as we were vessels. And even myself, it really helped me a lot. If you're listening to this podcast and you're going through that season where the Lord is just breaking, everything is just breaking, like, you know, in the process of being crushed, just know that in this season of new wine, Jesus is glorified, you know. And like I said it, I said the season of wine, the new season of wine is a season of miracles. And when we go back to the story of Joseph, we see that he had divine guidance. And that's when we talk about God's providence, even though his brother sold him to the to slavery. The Lord was guiding him. The Lord was protecting him. You know, even though Joseph was put in prison, the Lord was still protecting him. Even when Pharaoh's wife, when she said lies about him, it could be your situation. You could be in a season where people are just talking behind your back. People are spreading false testimonies about you. People are putting rumors out about you. It's okay. Remember that God was with Joseph. God guided Joseph, even though all these people, even his own brothers. So don't be shocked if it's your best friend, if it's your people from your church, even if it's your family members. Just know that even if they mean it for evil, God means it for good. It's a process of good wine. And in good wine, we see there's power. In good wine, you see the presence of God, you know? So hang on, like Joseph did. He did not let God, you know, he didn't let go of God. So he walked in God's word, and he did not, he did not let all these things get to him, but he held on he held on to God. So if you're there and you do not know Christ and you're saying to us, I understand everything that you guys are saying, but how do I accept the Lord? How do I, get the help from the Holy Spirit from everything that you guys said? You know, it's easier said than done, but what would I say? It's easy. You don't have to sacrifice anything. You don't have to shed any blood because Jesus already did that for us. You don't have to pay any money. It's free salvation. You can just repeat this with me. You say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, but I also know that you died for me, and I ask you that you forgive my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And just like that,
amen.
And we love you guys. Continue to share. And thank you again to Altes and Elga. Next week, we are on to part two. So God bless you guys. Shalom, 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 shalom.
Shalom.